Welcome back to the ICA Podcast. I'm Steve Prines, and I'm the course author and instructor for our Home Inspector Training Program. In our last podcast, we talked briefly about continuing education, and today I'd like to get into that a little further. As we'd mentioned in the last podcast, no matter how good your training program is, and here at ICA, we do believe our training program is one of the premier programs in the United States, but even so, no matter how good your training program is, you're not going to be able to learn everything you really need to know to be a really good home inspector. And I'm talking about the technical end here. Obviously, being a really good home inspector also means having good marketing skills, great communication skills, having a good personality with your clients, all those kinds of things. But today I'm just talking about the technical end. And no matter how much information we give you in a training program, you're not going to be able to retain all that information when you first start doing home inspections. And this profession is just like any other profession. Even if you have a natural inclination towards doing home inspections, even if you have a very strong trades background, doing inspections is a little bit different than actually building the house, and it's going to take time for you to get really comfortable with doing a home inspection, and it takes many, many inspections before you start to feel like you're really getting good at it. When I did my first inspection, I thought it was pretty good. After I did 100 inspections and went back and read the report I did for that very first inspection, I thought, my gosh, what an embarrassing piece of garbage this is. And you know, it doesn't mean I was a terrible home inspector when I did that very first inspection. It simply means that I got better. That's what everybody should do in their profession, is get better at it. And you typically get better with experience and with continuing education. And continuing education could be something that you actively seek out by taking classes, or it can simply mean that you're learning new things every day through experience. The first time you do a home inspection, our goal at ICA is to have you prepared to be able to do a competent job without getting yourself in trouble. You'll be able to find the major defects. You'll be able to report this properly, and your client will think that you've done a good job. But having said that, it's entirely possible you're going to go out to do that first home inspection, and you're going to see something that you don't remember learning from ICA or from any other training program, and you'll do the best you can during the home inspection. And by the way, whenever you do encounter something you're not sure about during a home inspection, it's best not to lie to the client. It's best to be honest and say, you know, I'm not really sure what I'm looking at here, and simply recommend that the client either check with their current owner, or certainly if it belongs to a particular trade group, like if it's a heating item or an electrical item, then simply recommend further evaluation either by a qualified tradesperson or even by the company that installed the item. Geothermal heating and cooling is a good example. The first time you see geothermal heating and cooling, which we do cover in our training program, but our training is a little bit brief in that. Obviously, we can't get into everything about geothermal heating and cooling. So the first time you encounter that, you may not feel comfortable with it. It's okay to simply recommend further evaluation by the installing contractor. That's why you need continuing education. You gain experience through doing home inspections, and you gain knowledge by doing additional research, going to formal classes, and whether you get those classes through an association, either at the national or state level, that's up to you, or if you go to a private company that provides continuing education classes for home inspectors, either way, you'll probably learn a lot. If you are in a state that licenses home inspectors, most likely you will be required to do a certain amount of continuing education in order to renew your license. The continuing education that's required by state varies wildly. In one state, only 5 hours of continuing education are required for renewal. In another state, 40 hours are required. So obviously you need to be familiar with the laws of your particular state if you are in a state that licenses home inspectors. If you are in an unlicensed state, once you get your certificate of completion from ICA, you're not under any obligation to get continuing education other than to yourself, because you do owe it to yourself to be the best possible home inspector you can be. You might not think of continuing education as part of your marketing effort, but it really is, because it's only common sense. The more you know about home inspections, the more you know about defect recognition, the more you know about what could go wrong with the different components of the house, all that's simply going to make you a better home inspector. The better you are at the technical end of home inspections, the better you will be perceived by your client, and the more likely you will get referrals from that client or from real estate agents. So getting continuing education is really sort of a hidden part of your overall marketing effort. It also keeps you out of trouble. The more you know, the less likely it is you're going to miss a defect. There are all sorts of reasons to get continuing education. One other aspect of continuing education that I'd like to mention is the fact that if you decide to join a professional association, whether one of the three major national associations that we talked about in the previous podcast, or one of the many state associations, if you join one of these associations, you will generally be required to get continuing education credits to remain a member in good standing of those associations. So that might actually be another benefit of joining an association, that it's the fact being that if you are in a state that does not license home inspectors, one of the ways then that you can make yourself stand out from the rest of the inspectors in your state is by voluntarily joining a professional association, which means that you are mandated to get continuing education. So that's something that you can tell a prospective client that, hey, I'm a member of ASHE or I'm a member of CREA and I have to get continuing education. That makes me a better home inspector than some of my competitors. Now, as you go through a home, when you find something you're not familiar with, you ought to take notes or pictures or whatever you need to gain all the information you can about that component or about that installation or defect. And then when the inspection's all said and done, get back and research that. You can learn an awful lot through internet research. You can also learn a lot by asking a more experienced home inspector. Of course, that's where association memberships can come into play. If you make some friends, or even one friend that's an experienced home inspector, that can really help you out. When you see something you're not familiar with, you have somebody more experienced, you can call, talk about it with them. Of course, you can ask for help through ICA. I get lots of questions from inspectors that just completed their training. They go out, they're not sure about something. We certainly do everything we can at ICA to help you out as a home inspector. There are also, on the internet, several home inspector forums where you can register. They don't cost money, typically. And that allows you an opportunity to post a question, post pictures of a defect, and get veteran inspectors with lots of experience from all over the country that may be willing to help you out with that. These internet home inspection forums are actually a very good opportunity to expand your knowledge base in a non-formal continuing education setting. Now, like anything on the internet, you don't know that everybody participating in these forums is a total expert. So if you post a question, if you get several responses, it's just like reading a restaurant review on the internet. You have to look at those that seem to make the most sense to you. As an example, say you post a question about a possible heating defect. Maybe you weren't sure that the furnace vent connector was installed properly. See, you put a picture of it up on a home inspection forum and you ask for some help with that. Well, if 4 out of 7 home inspectors say that it actually is installed correctly and they can all give you reasons why, then they're probably correct. The internet allows us to build a very large knowledge base based on the smaller knowledge bases of individuals. That's the beauty of the internet. Now, I use the internet all the time for researching home inspection topics. So as a home inspector, you go through training. Absolutely, you will need to get a lot more education. You will need to increase your knowledge base if you're going to grow professionally as a home inspector. That all goes with the territory. You know, as we're talking about doing a home inspection, perhaps seeing something you're not sure about, pretty common question I get asked is, do you ever see anything weird on a home inspection? Now, you know, weird can mean a lot of things. And I can honestly tell you, in all the many, many years of doing home inspections, I haven't seen all that much exciting stuff, you know, whatever exciting means. I've seen virtually nothing of a real sexual nature other than a few men's magazines stuck in a bathroom vanity somewhere. And of course, the only reason I would see those is because we do have to open the vanity to check the P-trap and check the stop valves underneath the sink. So Occasionally, I've seen that. I've seen very little drug paraphernalia. I really haven't seen anything that's all that exciting, at least not on a regular basis. There's been a few times we've seen some interesting things. One time, one of my inspectors was doing a four flat for a buyer, and he went up in the attic. The attic was accessible only through the closet off of a bedroom of one of the apartments, and my inspector went up in the attic and saw that someone had arranged some grow lights and they were growing marijuana. So my inspector called me up and said, you know, somebody's growing reefer up here. Should I say anything about it on the report? And I said, well, let's think about this for a second, Mike. Now, we know growing marijuana is illegal in the state of Illinois. And is that something the client should be aware of? Possibly. I can also tell you, Mike, that if you know that it's marijuana, are you potentially incriminating yourself? So, you know, we decided perhaps it's best not to put it on the report. And I said, you know, just have the client climb up the ladder, let him take a look at it, and just leave it at that. Now, having told you that story, you know, it's kind of amusing, but again, very rarely have we seen stuff like that. You know, I really haven't seen any, you know, being from a guy's point of view, I really haven't seen any women dressing in hot clothing, trying to do anything. You know, from the ladies' point of view, it's going to be the same thing. You're not going to run into guys doing anything really interesting or dressing in any hot way. I think the reason we don't see too much exciting stuff, again, I don't know what exciting means to you, but the reason we don't see too much of that stuff is generally when a house is for sale, it's usually set up through a real estate agent as a formal listing, and the real estate agent goes through the home and tells the homeowner to get rid of that kind of stuff, to hide that stuff or completely remove it from the home, because common sense, there's going to be a lot of people going through the home to look at it, and you don't need to have anything sexual or anything incriminating in the home. So now we really don't see too much exciting stuff like that. Sometimes people ask me, what happens if you break something? Well, you know, that's going to happen. No matter how careful you are, something will end up breaking in your hands. Perhaps you open a cabinet door and the knob comes right off in your hands, and you realize that the screw that holds the knob to the cabinet door is probably stripped, and you really can't get that cabinet knob installed again properly because the screw was stripped. Now, that's something that most likely had happened long before you were there. Unfortunately, you were the individual that opened the cabinet and the knob came off in your hand. Well, that stuff happens occasionally. What can you really do about it? Not much. Put it in the report. You could report it as a knob that was defective all along. Sometimes if something breaks, like one of my guys is doing an inspection, he closed the door. He tells me he didn't slam it. Somebody closed the door, and hanging on a wall about 5 or 6 feet away from the door was a clock. So he closed the door. The clock fell right off the wall, hit the floor, and broke. Are we responsible for that? Ultimately, we are. Doesn't matter if they had a bad hook or a bad nail. We're going to be responsible for that. So the best thing you can do is simply be honest about it. Own up to it right away. If your client's with you, well, obviously they're going to see that happen. But if there was no client with you at the time, you should still be honest about it. If the current owner's home, talk to them about it. Tell them you'll pay for it. If there is nobody home, leave a note on the kitchen counter or somewhere prominent with your business card. It explains to them what happened and that you'll cover the cost for it. If there are any real estate agents involved, let them know. I can tell you, in all honesty, that most things during a home inspection that are likely to be broken, and again, I don't want to get too carried away in this because if you're careful, hardly anything should ever break. But generally, most things that might get broken on a home inspection are usually not very expensive. And in the example I just mentioned about the clock breaking, it was a $15 or $20 clock from Walmart or Target, one of those types of stores. And as it turns out, the client was very cool about it and said, don't worry about it. I'm sorry it happened. But we would have paid money for it. One time, one of my guys failed to check the interior of an oven before he turned it on. The current owner had some Tupperware in there and it melted. I sent the current owner a check for $15 to cover the Tupperware. I mean, that's what they asked for. They just asked for $15. So I've never paid out big money for anything that was broken during a home inspection. Now, I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but generally, if you're careful, very few things are going to happen. So we don't usually see anything too weird on a home inspection. If you do, you're certainly going to remember it. not too many exciting things happen. We don't usually break things. You know, you just go through the house, you do the home inspection, you talk to your client about it, and you go prepare the report, and that's the end of it. So wrapping up today's podcast, you absolutely are going to need continuing education, whether you get that in a formal setting, through an association, or through a private company, or whether you simply get that on your own from the internet, or subscribing to magazines like Fine Home Building, Old House Journal, or Journal of Light Construction. That's another way to learn. However you get your education is to be largely dictated by your state licensing law, if you are in a licensed state, or whether you join an association simply to enhance your own personal and professional growth. If you have a question or topic that you would like to have us include in a future podcast, just send it to podcast@icaschool.com. That's podcast, PLDCAST, at icaschool.com. Thanks for listening to the ICA Podcast.